Please take your Bibles and please turn with me to several readings today. First of all, to 2 Samuel chapter 17. And that's to be found on page 374 of these maroon Bibles. 2 Samuel 17, I just want to read two or three verses from this chapter because they give us a little bit of background to the 23rd Psalm that we're going to read shortly. 2 Samuel 17, I want to read at verse 24. And David basically is being chased out of his capital city by his own son Absalom. So this is a particularly trying time in David's life. 2 Samuel 17 at verse 24. This is God's word. David went to Mahanaim, and Absalom crossed the Jordan with all the men of Israel. And then at verse 27, when David came to Mahanaim, Shobi son of Nahash from Rabbah of the Ammonites, and Machir son of Amiel from Lodabar, and Barzillai the Gileadite from Rogalim, brought bedding and bowls and articles of pottery. They also brought wheat and barley, flour and roasted grain, beans and lentils, honey and curds, sheep and cheese from cow's milk, for David and his people to eat. For they said, the people have become hungry and tired and thirsty in the desert. Then let's turn over to the 23rd Psalm. It's on page 605. And as we read this short psalm together, just a few things to be thinking about. How do you think this psalm is related to what we were studying last week? Psalm 22. What is good about the sheep? In these verses, we sometimes criticize sheep, but there is something good about the sheep as well. Who are these verses true for? Are these verses true for you today? Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then turn over just to read a few verses from John chapter 10. John chapter 10, on page 1128, 1128. Reading from verse 11. John chapter 10 at verse 11. And this is Jesus speaking about the good shepherd and speaking about false or untrustworthy shepherds. John chapter 10 at verse 11. This again is God's word. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Amen. We pray that God will bless to us these readings and also the preaching of his own holy and perfect word. Do please have your Bibles open at the 23rd Psalm as we spend a few minutes looking at it together. I can remember two things in particular about my gran's home in the townland of Annaghmore in County Armagh. One is the sweet smell of her apple pies. She lived most of her life on a dairy farm surrounded by apple orchards, and she made full use of those apples with a melt-in-your-mouth pie crust. The other thing I remember is her good room, which wasn't often used. There was thick carpet and an old, rarely played organ in one corner. On the walls were several black and white pictures of shepherds and sheep. They were of a certain age and a certain style. There weren't any Bible texts on the pictures, but it was clear that this was no ordinary shepherd. This shepherd would go out of his way, would put himself into danger to look after the sheep. And this is a copy of one of those pictures that shows just that. If you can see the shepherd and see the sheep near the bottom of the page. Obviously the shepherd is putting himself in some danger to rescue that sheep. We come today to what is probably the best loved passage in the whole Bible. Certainly the best known psalm of all. It's all about shepherds and sheep. And the one thing I want you to take from this psalm is how far God is prepared to go to look after you, believer, to look after me. The words of what we in our family used to call a hymn come to mind. I think we would call it a poem now. Lord, I would own thy tender care and all thy love to me. The food I eat, the clothes I wear are all bestowed by thee. And that's what we see right through this psalm. God's tender care of his sheep. But tender doesn't completely cover it. Care may be tender, but intermittent. And two lines from the final verse of that poem run, such goodness, Lord, and constant care, a child can ne'er repay. What comes across in this psalm, as well as God's tender care, is how constant, how consistent God's care is. So I want to give this sermon the title, Constant Tender Care. Constant Tender Care. And I want to spend a little time on the first verse, simply under the title, The Lord is My Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And that's a reasonably healthy looking sheep, I think you'll agree. I've heard about a certain shepherd in Wales who lived surrounded by his sheep. To look out one window of his house, you could see across the fields for a couple of miles, fields of sheep. To look out the opposite window, you could see the mountain rising sharply. To look out a third side was to look down into the ravine. And to look out the fourth side was to look out across the valley. Sheep on each side. But always a wall between the shepherd and his sheep. Shepherds on these islands are very devoted to their sheep. But the picture here in Psalm 23 is even closer and more personal. As a shepherd boy, David spent many nights out in the fields with the sheep. There was no wall separating him from them. In fact, during the night, his own body was supposed to form the wall, the barrier, across the entrance to the sheepfold to make sure no other animals could get in and disturb the sheep. The shepherd lived so close to the sheep that he may even have taken on their smell. That may be why in the book of Genesis we're told the rather fussy Egyptians found eating with Hebrews detestable, because the Hebrews by and large were shepherds. But do you see what this is saying about God? Whenever it says, "The Lord is my shepherd," and the very name Lord that opens this psalm was revealed to Moses, the shepherd, when he was urged to come close to a bush that just kept on burning. And this whole name Lord means God is coming close. God would come close to the Israelites again as he passed over their homes, because a perfect lamb lay dead there, picturing an even greater closeness when Jesus, the Son of God, the Word, took on human flesh and lived for a while among us. And that human flesh Jesus still bears with nail prints in glory. I want you to notice too that there's an order in these psalms. They weren't just thrown together randomly. Last week, God opened our minds to the horrors of Psalm 22. The horrors of Jesus' crucifixion, of Jesus being forsaken by his Father. Next week, God willing, we will sample something of what it means, something of what it meant for Jesus to return to heaven in glory. From suffering, Psalm 22, along the path the shepherd marks out, Psalm 23, to glory, Psalm 24. In other words, Psalm 23 is not for just anybody. And they are such comforting words of constant, tender care. But they only apply to those who have walked through Psalm 22 with the shepherd. Those who believe that the shepherd, the Son, has been forsaken for us. Those who can say the first line of Psalm 23, "The Lord, the God of the covenant, has come close to me in Jesus. The shepherd has become the perfect and final lamb. He is my shepherd. He is my Savior. I am happy to be one of his sheep." And it's only if you can say that that the rest of the psalm is true for you. Can you say that today? Is the Lord your shepherd? Do you belong to him by faith? So that's the first point. The Lord is my shepherd. The great God comes close to his people. You may have heard people preaching on this psalm saying that the picture changes in verse 5. You'll see that the NIV, if you're reading the NIV, begins a new section there. It's no longer shepherd and sheep, but the host at a great banquet with his guests. And there is something in that. But I believe that David means us to see the Lord as our shepherd the whole way through. The host may come in, but I believe the shepherds may be back in verse 6. The second point in verses 2 and 3 is this. The Lord is my shepherd daily. And you can see that the sun there is on the horizon. It looks like it's just daybreak. And already the shepherd is hard at work looking after the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd daily. Verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There's such a marked contrast between these verses and what we were looking at in Psalm 22. Because there in Psalm 22, at least for the first two-thirds of the psalm, right down to verse 21, there's a searing sense of aloneness. God is only named at the very beginning of the psalm, my God, why have you forsaken me? Named as an absent partner. He's only remembered as a former friend. And if you read through those verses in Psalm 22, the only ones who are present for Jesus are mockers. In verse 7, despisers. Or as he goes on to talk about bulls, lions, dogs, those intent on destroying him. But what strikes you in verses 2 and 3 of Psalm 23, indeed right through the psalm, is the tender togetherness. The shepherd and the sheep are there together in every line. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores my soul. He guides me. It's all about that relationship. It's even more beautiful in the Hebrew, because the word me isn't a separate word. Instead, it's two consonants and a vowel tacked on to the end of the verb. Let me just give you one example. I realize it may not mean very much to you. It's just squiggles and dots. And we read from this side in Hebrew to this end. So that the word me is actually pronounced ni, and it's the red part at the end. So that actually means he makes me lie down. So that's all in the one verb. So that's the way the Hebrew works. So the word for me is actually connected to what God is doing. How devoted the Lord is to every one of his sheep. How attached he is, literally, to each one. And every one can say the same thing. As if he's giving each sheep individually his full attention. When I was at Union College, the Presbyterian College in Belfast, that's a piece of advice we were given. To treat those we as ministers or as trainee ministers were visiting, to treat those we were talking to as if that person was the most important person in the world. That was sound counsel. And that's really what David is saying here. This is how God is treating me. The good shepherd knows what makes the best bed for the sheep. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He knows what kind of stream sheep must drink from. He leads me beside quiet waters. He puts his knowledge into practice. He doesn't allow the sheep to wander too far away. He restores my soul. If they fall, if they get cast on their backs, he puts them back on their feet. He's always moving the sheep on, so they're learning to trust him more each day. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is the daily pattern of the shepherd's care. It's constant, it's comprehensive, it's essential. Every day we live, for our bodies, for our souls too. Rest, refreshment, restoration, righteousness, redirection. And for each of these actions, the shepherd must come close. Just this past month, a live-action film of Winnie the Pooh has come out. Well, Christopher Robin is played by a real person. Winnie the Pooh is still a toy bear. You might think that's a bit twee, just for the children. But in the original Pooh stories, there's such togetherness between Pooh and Christopher Robin that sometimes it's hard to know where one ends and the other starts. And that's the amazing thing about this very personal day-by-day picture in Psalm 23. The sovereign Lord of the universe and an ordinary, pretty silly human being walking along side by side. One is totally in control, and the other is benefiting every second from that control. But you wouldn't know it to look at them. You'd think they were just the best of friends. To compare ourselves to sheep, even as I was doing in one of the prayers, it doesn't do us many favours. We're told that sheep are quite social animals, sometimes in a bad way, all capable of following one wandering sheep through a hole in the fence. If there's one hole and one sheep goes through it, soon there'll be no sheep in the field. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We're also told that sheep are headstrong animals with minds of their own. They're quite capable, each one on his or her own, of getting themselves into bother. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the good thing about the sheep here in Psalm 23 is that they're prepared to be sheep. They're prepared to recognize their weaknesses, their dependence on the shepherd. They're ready to submit to the shepherd's hand. They're ready to follow where he leads. And that verse that I've just been quoting from Isaiah 53 ends like this: "And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Is that you today, believer? Are you prepared daily to recognize your sinfulness, your waywardness, your weakness, which is still in you after you trust in Jesus? Do you believe that the shepherd has paid for all your sin so that you can trust him in everything? It's not a natural thing today when people are encouraged to stand on their own two feet, to give over control of our lives to Jesus like this. And most of our days are like these days in verses 2 and 3. Fairly ordinary, humdrum, not very dramatic. This psalm tells us that God is our shepherd in all these ordinary times. In your place of work, at the kitchen sink, will you submit yourself to him? In his handling of you, in his leading you, believing he does know where he's taking you, that the paths he chooses are for your good. Are you looking for anything else beyond Jesus? Or do you see that, as the end of the first verse says, that in Jesus you have everything you need? The Lord is my shepherd. He has chosen me as his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd daily. He looks after me in all kinds of ways. But in verse 4, there's a change. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. No longer is David talking about the shepherd as he has up to now. Instead, he's talking to the shepherd. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It changes from he, to you and your. And this is, the Lord is my shepherd in difficulty. The Lord is my shepherd in difficulty. There are friends who will be with you when all is going well. But when the sky darkens, when the wind whips up, those friends will disappear. They may not have handled crises in their own lives. They don't know what to do, what to say, when trouble strikes. This is where the Good Shepherd comes into his own. The word literally means the shadow of death, but it may mean anything that brings darkness into your life. Illness, disappointment, doubt, depression, confusion. C.S. Lewis has a brilliant description of something like this in one of his Narnia stories, The Horse and His Boy. And the boy, Shasta, reckons he's had a hard life. And at one point, he's feeling abandoned in the dark as an enemy invasion threatens. But just at that moment, a great presence comes up and breathes on Shasta in the dark and seems to walk along beside him. Finally, Shasta plucks up courage to speak, and a large voice replies, "I was the lion who forced you to join with the girl Aravis. I was the cat who comforted you among the houses of the dead. I was the lion who drove the jackals from you while you slept. I was the lion who gave the horses the new strength of fear for the last mile of the journey. And I was the lion you do not remember, who pushed the boat in which you lay, a child near death, so that it came to shore where a man sat, wakeful at midnight, to receive you." Of course, it's Aslan, the Christ figure. And he's saying that he was present during all the crises, all the difficulties that Shasta has known, even during difficulties that Shasta wasn't aware of. This is the shepherd we really need. He's not just there for 90% of the time during our daily routine. He's also there for the other 10% of the time when circumstances can really overwhelm us. And he's not only present. David says, "You are with me." That's good. He's actually active. "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The rod is the club to beat off enemies lurking in the darkness, whether they're real people like Satan, who would do us down, or whether they're pain or guilt that can attack us on a different level. And the staff is the crook, the shepherd's crook, to pull us back from the edge. And that may often be God's word, to show us where it's safe to walk, to show us where the sides of the ravine are. You'll notice that this presence is good, but he's not tame. He is carrying a rod and a staff. His rod and staff may comfort the believer, but they may do lasting harm to the enemy. Make sure you're not opposed to the Good Shepherd today, because many upright people, as they thought, were opposed to Jesus. And as we go on into verse 5, there are enemies in verse 5 as well. And in verse 5, again, David is using the word "you." He's still speaking directly to the shepherd. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." He's still talking about difficulties. And I'm in two minds about the background here. I can see snarling wolves being held off as the sheep tuck into rich, lush grass up on the tablelands. Or I can see something like the situation we read about in 2 Samuel 17. Just keep your finger in Psalm 23 and turn back with me for a minute to 2 Samuel 17. And this may be the background that David himself is aware of as he writes verse 5. Page 374. And as we were saying earlier, Absalom, David's son, has taken David's throne from him. So David has been expelled from Jerusalem, from the capital city. This is one of the lowest points in David's life. Possibly deserved, at least partially deserved, because David refused to discipline Absalom. David is running like a hungry mongrel into the wilderness. But we have in verse 27, we have these loyal servants of David. And you'll see that they're not all Israelites. There's Shobi from the Ammonites. There's Machir from Lodabar. And there's trusty Barzillai. And what they do, they go out of their way to set up a feast for their master in the wilderness, even as Absalom is trying to kill his father. It's like an unexpected but most welcome oasis. God can surprise his own people with unexpected blessing in hard times. Dale Ralph Davis asks the question, if Christ can sustain and uphold me even in the presence of my enemies, is there any circumstance in which he cannot or will not sustain his disciple? Let's come back to Psalm 23. The worst circumstance we face in this world is death. An intruder with power because of sin. Yet there's comfort even in death for the child of God. According to verse 4, we only face the shadow of death. Jesus has borne its substance. And it's the valley of the shadow of death. It's not the desert. Fruitful things can grow even there. We walk through that valley. It's not a dead end. It's not a final resting place. For some, the walk is longer, for others, shorter. But just like Jesus, we walk through that valley. He walked it alone. We walk with him. And it leads out into bright sunlight, the light of the presence of the Son of God. God is most present when we need him most. A personal God who leads us, who loves us, who bears away our sins in his own Son. What other religion anywhere has anything like this? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd daily. The Lord is my shepherd in difficulty, even in death. And finally, the Lord is my shepherd in eternity. The Lord is my shepherd in eternity. Verse 6. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And strictly, the first half of that verse is still about life in this world. But surely it establishes a pattern for life in the next world. God is good to those who love him, who trust him, who commit our sinful lives to him. God shows his steadfast covenant love to those whom he has delivered from sin at the price of his son's forsakenness. It's been said that those two, goodness and love, are like the sheepdogs for God's flock. They pursue us all the way to heaven, and we shouldn't want to outrun them. And surely we'll spend our time in heaven looking back over our days on earth and proving the truth of those words for every single day. Goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. One commentator even translates the first word of verse 6 as only, instead of surely. Only goodness and love will follow me. Well, how can you say that? Haven't other less pleasant things invaded the psalm, like death and evil and enemies? But the truth is, as we saw over this past number of months with the persecution of Haman in the book of Esther, or as Job learned through his own suffering, as we see even in the forsakenness of Jesus, God shapes these harmful things to work lasting good into the lives of his people. Death, evil, enemies don't take us away from God's costly covenant love. Instead, they bring us closer. They make us value him higher. And because of this goodness, because of this steadfast love of a faithful God, the worst day any believer faces is still far, far better than the best day any unbeliever has. Because the unbeliever only has fleeting joys and no enduring home. And that's where the psalm ends. In the house, the home of the Lord. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, with no end in sight. And this verse slides so smoothly from this world into forever that it's a bit like Enoch, way back at the beginning of the book of Genesis. One day, Enoch went out for a walk with God, as he usually did. They walked and they talked and they opened their hearts to each other until late. Then God said, "Enoch, you've come so far with me today that it would be wrong to send you back. Why don't you just come home with me forever? No wolves, no darkness, no foolishness, no sin, no leaving, only goodness and love and tender, constant care." So how can Jesus be your shepherd in eternity? Only by becoming your substitute, your savior in time. Only if you have learned to love him and trust him and live for him because he loved you and lived and died for you. And like every believer, he is alive to be our shepherd forevermore. Let's stand as we talk to God together. Our Father, we thank you for your wraparound love and tender care. Help us to go on thinking about all you have done, all you are doing in our lives, and all that you will still do for us. Help each one of us simply to commit ourselves to you each day, to love to spend time with you above all else, and to want to see others joining your flock, your family too. Lord, we would pray for any here today still outside that flock to see we can only say, "The Lord is my shepherd." If Jesus is our substitute, if Jesus bears our sin, if we turn from that sin and trust in him as our Savior. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.